This is Dr. Max T. Younce, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church of Walnut Grove, Minnesota. This is our Bible class, and we are glad that you could join with us today. We hope that you will get your Bible out and be ready to follow along. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good again to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. And we just count it a privilege here to have you follow along in our Bible studies and also just the response that we get from the radio broadcast and so forth. We just, it's just amazing here, the outreach, that we have, the people that are being reached and the folks that write us and so forth. We just thank you so much. It is such a privilege to be able to bring these messages to you and to hear that when you are studying your Bible, it's coming alive to you. I mean, you're reading it for yourself. You're not just going in church, sitting there with no Bible and just listening to the preacher. If you're in a good Bible teaching church, you've got your Bible there, you're opening your Bible, you're turning to the scriptures, you're listening to the illustrations, you're listening to a good sermon your preacher is bringing out there that's going to, God can use by the power of the Holy Spirit to use in your life, you see. Well, we're coming over to Matthew chapter 3 again, and we're using this here, points here in the life of John the Baptist. Now, we're taking where he's preaching here. We're going on clear on through as we go on here as to when he lost his head. He got decapitated for his stand on morals. But we're taking each part of what he preached here, and we're amplifying upon it to show you the power that this man had by preaching the Word of God. We do know this, that there are not many mighty, not many noble called, but we know the power of the Word of God, for it is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirits and the joints of the marrow, and so forth. And we find out that God's Word, when you give it out, it'll do one or two things. They're going to hate you for it, or they're going to love you for it. Because if they have a desire to know the truth, in John 7:17, if any man's will is to know what God's will is, it shall be made known unto him. But you have to have a desire to want to know truth. Now, you've been brainwashed into religion. You've got, I go to this denomination, I'll never change my mind. You know what? You can't be reached. Your old heart's just as hard as stone. You wouldn't know the truth. It slapped you in the face. But the Word of God says here, and John said, when he seen these hypocrites come to the baptism here where he was baptizing, we find out here, if you'll look down here with me here, in verse 9, and think not to say within yourself, John knew him, he was a Jew, we have Abraham to our father, or I belong to this denomination of a church, that's where I'm, well, I was born, I was raised, I'm going to die. But I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Your heart might be a stone, you may be as brainwashed that this is the only church there is. Let me tell you something, there is no one denomination who is the only church, including Baptist. Baptist is not the only church. I have friends of good Bible-believing pastors that pastor community churches. They have many various different names. They do not belong to an organization. They are an independent church, just like you had in the New Testament times. I didn't know that they had Lutheran churches back at the time of Christ. You know, we didn't get these till 400 years ago or five or something like that to Martin Luther. I didn't know that they had Methodist churches back there at the time of Christ. I don't find any of that. There was a church in Ephesus, a church in Philadelphia, a church in Smyrna and Thyatira and so forth. I don't know if any of them were named Lutheran or Methodist or Presbyterian or Baptist or that. I don't find any of that in the Bible at all. I don't find any of it. We've become so denominationalized, we have denominations on the brain. Really. We really have. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist preacher. Although I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist preacher, I'm proud to be a preacher that pastors a Baptist church that teaches the Bible. But I'm not going to recommend every Baptist church to someone because there are Baptist churches that are absolutely sold out to modernism. Some of them do not even believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of them do not believe that it is by grace or you're saved through faith. They don't believe that at all. So it's not the denomination. So we're going back over here to John now, and we're going to pick it up from where we was at last week. When Christ, and they said, we are of Abraham's seed, we found out in John chapter 1 and verse 13, not by blood are we a Christian. Not at all. Not because we're born and into a Christian family, not because our dad's a Bible teacher, not because our father may teach in the seminary or so forth. Not of that at all. I may have a mother as a wonderful Christian. That does not make me a Christian. You say, I must receive Jesus Christ and Him as my Savior, my personal Savior. The Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd for somebody else or the shepherd for something else. He is my shepherd. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then if you do, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, I'd like for you to notice, if you will, here. And we're over here to John chapter 8 now, and we're going to continue to go on down. They said unto Christ here in verse 39, and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But, he goes on down, they accused Him of being an illegitimate born son. Notice in verse 31 or 41, you do the deeds of your father. That's what Christ said. Then said they to Him, we are not born of fornication. Oh, no, not us. We're better than you, Lord Jesus. We have one Father, even God. But they didn't have God because if they would have believed what God said, then they would have believed on Christ. Because notice in verse 42, Jesus saith unto him, if God were your Father, you would love me. You see, the Father said, love the Son. See, the Father said in John 3:16, God loved the world and gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him. But see, they didn't believe in Him. They just wanted to be God and claim some God, but it wasn't the Jehovah Elohim of the Bible. It wasn't that at all. It wasn't Yahweh. Yahweh in the Hebrew is the way it's pronounced. Jehovah is the way it's pronounced in the English. It's what's called tetragrammation there with your four letters. J-H-V-H, the vowels have been supplied by the translators there. But we find out there that it is Yahweh in the Hebrew. It is Jehovah in the English there. Tetragrammation means four letters. And tetras, four. Grammatos means letters. That's where we get grammar in our English there. So it's called tetragrammation there. And that is J-H-V-H. No, they did not believe in the Jehovah of the Bible. Now, they claimed to, but they didn't, because God made them a liar. He said, if you do believe in me, and Christ said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why don't you understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? That's when we witness in this area around here, we're so brainwashed with denominations. You know what? The only offset they can say is you're a cult religion, you're a cult. Boy, I tell you, we got hundreds of millions of cults and they belong to one themselves. One man I was talking to here just a couple weeks ago, he said, how in the world when you teach, I've been in your church, you teach the Bible, do they call you a cult? I said, they don't want anybody coming to our church. They've dominated us for 110 years in this area here, and they don't want anybody to hear the truth because they themselves reject the truth. They're trusting a water baptism go to heaven. They're trusting the preacher that gets up and says, I can forgive your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. They have bought that lie out of hell for over 100 years. And they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. They only talk about Him. They only talk about God. Do they really, really believe in the God of creation? I got to tell you something. There are some of these liberal preachers that do not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They do not believe it. And you know what? Some of you, to go to some of them churches, if you'd ever get up enough backbone to ask your pastor, does he believe in creation? Does he believe, literally, that God created Adam and Eve? Now, I know someone here, a friend of mine, has asked pastor that. No, he doesn't. There isn't a member of his congregation that knows that he doesn't believe that. And some of you people are too dumb to ask your preacher what he really believes. He's in it for the money. He's in it to have a parsonage. He's in it to preach some little sermonette to you that, oh, we just all be good people now. I'm so loving, I'm so kind, and I'm this and I send you right straight to hell. Let me ask you a question. And you can tell if you got a false preacher, whether you haven't. Has your preacher told you that there's only one way to heaven? Now I want to tell you what the Bible says. This is what John the Baptist preached. He never compromised on the Word of God. He said, even God can save some of you that claim to be of Abraham's seed, and your heart is as hard as stone, but God can save you because Christ died for the sins of the world. There were some chief priests that were saved. Paul led some. There were some jailers that had a high position. They were saved. Peter led them to the Lord. Not many mighty and not many noble are, not many of you that have such a high opinion of yourself that everybody else is just a little peon in town. No, no. That's right. And you have that kind of an opinion. You look down on everybody else. They don't go to your church. Then they're a nobody. They're an absolute nobody. But Jesus Christ says that even of these stony hearts, the Holy Spirit will convict you when you hear the message that you're hearing today, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. When's the last time you heard your pastor say, and quote John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through the Son. Not water baptized. Not joining your church that you think is the only church in town. The same one, if you're going to heaven, you're surely not going to heaven if you lie. Any other church you call a cult. You sit at the bars and you spread your stories about a church that teaches the Bible. It isn't an hour after you tell some of your damnable lies, I get a phone call. So not everyone that laughs with you is laughing with you. A lot of them are laughing at you under their breath, and you're too dumb to know it. You know, as we've said many times, you fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. Amazing, isn't it? We come on down. Notice what he said in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Christ said. And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? And he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Let me ask you something. When someone, and you tell them how they can know they're going to heaven when they die, and they totally reject it, they may go to church every Sunday, but they're not of God. Now they may sit there and go through the motions and hear the word, oh, we worship God, and we're going to say the Apostles' Creed and so forth, and you have sort of a sense of religious tent attached to you, but in reality, you're just as lost as a goose in a caboose in a Cleveland blizzard. You're right on your way to hell, because the only way to escape hell is to accept and put your faith. If you really love God, you would believe what he said, that he loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him, that's Jesus Christ, would not perish, that is, go to hell, but have everlasting life. So if you really love the Lord, and you really love the God of the Bible, you would trust his Son as your only hope of going to heaven, and you wouldn't even think that that preacher can stand up there and say, I forgive your sins in the name of Jesus Christ. You'd look at him and go up there and call him phony on a $3 bill and run out of that church, because he's taking the place of God. And yet in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus. Now, I want with the preaching of John the Baptist, I want you to go back with me, because in the book of Matthew, now, if you recall here, we're back here in chapter 3, but he said here that we have Father, Abraham our father. I say unto you that God's able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then he goes on to preach the judgment here. And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Now, we got Baptists running around saying, oh, I'm a fruit inspector. You're no more a fruit inspector than a chicken inspector. You cannot inspect a person's heart. And you're playing God when you try that. I get so sick of hearing Baptists say that and a few other religions say that, I'm a fruit inspector. You'd have to be God to be a fruit inspector. What this is talking about, and we're going to see this because we find out that Matthew amplifies this over here in chapter 7. Now let me just say this, when he says here now, and John the Baptist is preaching the judgment now, and he goes on down in verse 11 and talks about the Christ is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, that's on Pentecost, and with fire, that's at the end of the tribulation, when the judgment of the nations, when he says to them on the right hand, come inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, to those on the left hand who are lost, this is at the judgment of the nations, depart from me, you're cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But let's get back up here now to verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Now what do the trees represent? The trees represent an individual. It is an earthly object lesson to illustrate a human biblical truth. Now, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Now, whenever the owner of the forest decides to cut his tree down, he can do it. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. If you have an orchard and you have a tree that's not producing. Now, an orange tree always produces oranges, never produces lemons. Now, a grapefruit tree won't produce tangerines. You see, a grapefruit tree will always produce the kind of fruit the tree is. So he's using this as an object lesson, whether it be of a Christian or a non-Christian. So if there's a tree that's not bringing forth fruit, it's not bringing forth oranges, if it's an orange tree, then it's really no good, is it? I mean, you can't really say it's an orange tree because there's no oranges there. And he's using this as an object lesson, so the owner of the orchard goes out, cuts the tree down, throws it in the fire because it's absolutely useless. It's a lost tree. Now with that in mind, it's amplified over here in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew later on brings this out. So I'd like for you to go with me to chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. Now, he uses the same thing over here as far as the good tree and the good fruit. But we're going to get the context of this now if we go back up here into verse 13. So we've got to get the context to know what it's referring to and what the fruit's referring to here. All right? Notice in verse 13 of the 7th chapter here of the book of Matthew, tying it in over here with the 3rd chapter of Matthew, where John the Baptist talked about the axe is laid to the root and the tree is chopped down if it doesn't bring forth fruit. What does it represent? Notice here, and let's take it right on down from verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Well, enter in at the straight gate. Now, he goes on to say, there's a wide gate. This wide gate will take in every kind of philosophy you want as far as any denomination wants to teach and build a religion upon it, yanking one verse out, mutilating another, disregarding portions of the Word of God, and just taking one little verse and making a religion out of it. So this gate can include, well, and we're seeing this in your ecumenicalism today. We don't really care what you believe, just as long as you love us. Don't talk about doctrine. Don't talk about that at all. Now we don't care. If you believe, you're going. After all, we've sold the people a bill of goods. You know, going to heaven is like a wheel. And we have the hub, and all the spokes are pointing to the outer perimeter. Therefore, if you're just trying the best you can, God knows that you're sincere. Yeah, all spokes lead to the same thing. You know, it's a funny thing, because they don't all lead to the same thing. They lead to different places. And God never puts and accepts sincerity for truth. Never does God accept that. And the reason for that is, you can be sincerely wrong, but the truth is there. I don't know hardly a place in the world there isn't Bibles. So you have a Bible, you go to the Gideons, have done a wonderful job making sure that there's Bibles in prisons. They do a wonderful job making sure there's Bibles in motel and hotel rooms and wherever you go. the Gideons have done a wonderful work. In fact, if some of you got a few extra dollars and want to invest it, get a hold of the chapter in Redwood Falls and give them a donation. They'll put it to the best use. They'll put it to better use than I can, better use than you can, because they have the means by getting Bibles cheaper than what you and I can buy them, and they'll put them to good use. You ought to do that. But we find out, as we go on down here, wide is the gate. The ecumenicalism said, we don't care what you believe. You just come and join us for our suppers. We'll get along in that. You know what? You're fellowshipping on human philosophy. You're fellowshipping on really dishonesty. Fellowship comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can tell you, we had one time, we had a person come in our church, and you can tell. Man, can you tell? And she came in. She was in there just a short period of time. And I'll tell you what, she was like somebody had covered her with ice and pulled her out of the freezer and set her in a chair. She wouldn't look. She wouldn't talk. She's making faces about everything that was said from the pulpit. And you could tell that her spirit did not bear witness with our spirit. I have been in congregations, talked to other people that have went to some of these special hoopy-doopy, loving, shouting, jumping up and down, rolling over aisles and flopping on the platform and kicking chairs and everything else. And they're going to some of their meetings, and boy, I'll tell you, one man told me, he said, I'll tell you what, they stared at me the whole meeting. Everybody did. In fact, the one preacher came out and said, there is a false spirit amongst us here today. I wasn't there. He was telling me about, though. He was there. But you know what? Their spirit does not bear witness. But wide is the gate. Wide is the gate that leadeth where? Let's see where this leads. It leadeth to destruction. And there's going to be many, many there be that go in thereat. The majority of the populace is going to destruction by the wide gate because they want to go to wherever they want to go by not trusting Jesus Christ. They just don't want him. But notice in verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. The word in the Greek for find literally means perceive it. They don't want it. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way. This is not speaking about you walking a Christian life. It doesn't say straight is the path. It doesn't say the path is all of your life. You've got to walk straight. No, the gate to where you enter. Does it have anything to do with the way you walk in your life? Narrow is the way. The gate, narrow is the way. Now, the Lord qualified this in John 14:6. I'm the way, Christ said. I'm the truth and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. Ask somebody, and I can tell you right now whether you're going to heaven or hell, and I'm not God, but I can judge what you say against the Word of God to make a determination whether you're saved or lost. Now, that is going on the qualification that you're not lying to me. You're telling the truth. Now, if what you tell me about going to heaven, you say, well, I've been water baptized, I'm going to heaven, then I know you're on your way to hell. Because the Bible does not allow you to go to heaven on your own good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy has He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, that is, by the Word of God. You're clean through the Word. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the continuous working of the Holy Spirit in your life until death comes and you go to heaven. And then he goes on to say in John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, there was a group of people that came unto the Lord Jesus, and they asked him, they said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He answered and said unto them, see, they made the proposal, what good thing can I do? What my pride, I will do anything. I want the glory for doing something. Christ said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. You cannot do one thing to go to heaven, including being water baptized, joining the church, taking communion, taking the sacraments, have nothing to do with you going to heaven. And it doesn't matter what that preacher tells you. It matters what God says. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through the Son. So we come on down, and with verse 13 and 14, we got a wide gate, we got a narrow gate. The wide gate leads to destruction. The narrow gate leads to eternal life. So we come on down and begin to see who he's talking about here. Now, what object lesson is he given here? Well, he's given an object lesson here about a gate, but about people. Because, or beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Boy, oh boy, they will not be what they appear to be. They will not be. Now, a wolf is not going to come unto you as a wolf. A false teacher is not going to come unto you and say, I'm a false teacher. A cult religion is not going to say, I'm a cult religion. They're all going to camouflage what they are so that you don't detect what they really, really are. This is why it's so important. We encourage people to do this. Go to your preacher and say, do you believe every word in the Bible is the inerrant word of God? Now, if you get this rumbo-jumbo about, oh, well, now there's certain portions here, run from that preacher. He's lost on his way to hell. The Word of God says every Word of God is pure. Isn't that what the Bible says? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Not the little portion that the preacher thinks is not. That preacher is an unbeliever. He's a pretender. He appears to be a sheep, but inside he's a wolf. He'll eat you up by his damnable philosophy. You've got to ask your preacher what he believes. And just because he wears a robe, just because he's a preacher behind the pulpit, does not mean that he's a saved preacher on his way to heaven. There are many preachers behind the pulpit that are nothing more than children of Satan. They're ministers of Satan, and we're going to see that as we go on here. The only way you can tell a minister of righteousness from a minister of the devil is, what is his message? You can never tell by looking at him, because he will fool you. He will not come into the pulpit with a couple of horns and a red mask over his face and a tail hanging out his back end. He's not going to do that. He's going to come in as the most polished, refined, educated man that you can possibly get. He's going to just shower you with love. He's not going to raise his voice. He's not going to do a thing. He's going to sell you a bill of goods and take you right straight to hell with him. What does he believe? That is determined by you asking your pastor, what do you mean? Oh, I belong to this church all my life. You might be on your, thank God you haven't died yet because you got a chance to be saved. Amen? If you died 10 years ago, you died yesterday, you'd be on your way to hell because you're trusting that church. And you don't really even know what your church believes. I read a catechism thing here, the newest one that came out on Roman Catholicism. I'll tell you what, there ain't a Catholic in the world who knows what everything's in that book, including all the priests. I never read such a big bunch of rumbo-jumbo in my life. It took me, truthfully, hours to read this thing. You mean to tell me, I thank God that when I trusted Jesus Christ, I'm free? Why, there isn't a Catholic in the world that could even come close to keeping all this rumbo-jumbo that is in that catechism. I'm talking about the big one now, the laws and the orders of the church. You don't, buddy, if you got to keep them going to heaven, you don't have a chance. You couldn't learn them all in a lifetime and understand them all. You don't have a chance. Thank God that the Bible is so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now we're going over here with Matthew chapter 7 because we're getting in here, as we've said, about the good trees, the bad trees, the ones that are going to be hewed down. Same thing John the Baptist spoke about. We'll pick it up and continue on with that next week. Most important thing in your life is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, that's the important thing. If you have, you have eternal life. If you're not, then you're under the condemnation of Almighty God. And it doesn't matter how long you belong to your church, it will not take you to heaven. Only the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ will give you eternal life. I hope you're trusting Him. Been so good to have you join with us. Please take time to write us. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And as we ever pray each week, and maybe this will be the week that Christ will come, maybe it'll be a month, but we're ever praying, even so come, Lord Jesus.